Welcome to another edition of Community Tides. I'm Chris Bricker, and I'll alternate Fridays during the noon hour. I join my co-host, Siobhan Canty, President and CEO of Jefferson Community Foundation, to explore new developments, new paradigms, as our community emerges from a couple of years packed with difficult challenges and creative adaptations. Hi, Siobhan.
Hi, Chris. Great to be with you.
Well, if you happen to be sailing out by Port Hadlock, you just might hear the dulcet accordion tones of our local treasure, singer-songwriter Paul Rogers, drifting from his GarageLand studios. Tucked away along the waterside woods, that's Rogers with a G, by the way. In 1975, Paul headed west from Michigan to San Francisco, and he was armed with a newly minted degree in music composition, and there he immersed himself in the pop music scene and played keyboard and fronted a number of, I guess, two or three new wave bands, if I remember correctly. He also joined up with a legendary Christmas jug band, and he penned some of their greatest hits, including the classic Santa Lost a Hoe, which was named Christmas Song of the Year by NPR in 2002. Then, Paul's doing some rattling in the background.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Somebody just came to the door and I held up radio interview.
Well, then came the unlikely meeting that turned him into a squeeze box rocker. He fell in love with the Bay Area's Those Darn Accordions in 1990 and became their music director in 1992. Well, fast forward to 2016, when Paul began producing an accordion festival, the PT Deep Squeeze, which happens towards the end of every summer. It's definitely changed the community tide because the PT Deep Squeeze always has a purpose. And Paul's here to tell you about it. In fact, it has a little bit of a different name this year. It's called Squeezing for a Reason. Paul Rogers, welcome to Community Tides.
Thank you very much, Chris and Siobhan. Glad to be here. We've got a different name this year. It kind of came to me in the middle of the night because, you know, after the couple years off with COVID, I was wondering, do I want to do this again? And why would I do it again? And then it just came to me, you know, well, I'm squeezing for a reason. I thought, well, that rolls off the tongue nicely. And coincidentally, somehow, I'm not sure how exactly it happened, I became the president of the East Jefferson Rotary Club. And I thought, you know what? I think I'm going to do another accordion festival and team up with Rotary. And we'll be squeezing a reason to raise funds for Ukraine, because that was another thing that happened over the past year. So it all just kind of makes sense to me. And, you know, I want to keep a local tie to it, too. So we've included the Community Wellness Fund Project. And it's just kind of all makes sense to me. It's the right time to try to do it again.
Paul, I can't imagine anything that we need more than an accordion festival after these last 2.5 or 3 years.
Yeah, I hope you're right about that, Siobhan. I've been getting some good feedback from people. And so we're really, really hoping it can come together. I was really pleased that Kate called me up and said KPTZ wanted to co-present this with us. So, I mean, we've got everybody on board. We've got the leader helping out, and I've got 12 local sponsored businesses. So we've never had that many people sponsor before. So I feel pretty good about it.
I think people are pretty excited. Hey, Paul, before we get into the details of the event itself this year, I wanted to talk about the instrument. I think a lot of people know one part of the instrument, whether it's through the listening to Cajun music or to polka or to, you know, some of us even know that it's integral to flamenco. But I don't think anyone really, not many people at least, know about the breadth of this instrument that you champion and you play so well. I was wondering if you could give us a little bit of an idea of about the instrument itself.
Yeah, because I'm not one of those guys that, you know, grew up playing the accordion. This came to me later in life when I joined the Christmas Jug Band and just kind of started playing accordion in there. And then when the darn accordions came around, we decided to take approach my approach was to try to play this thing like more like a guitar, and running it through amplifiers and effects, and really treating it more like a lead guitar instrument. And so that was my initial approach to it. And so we've used it more in more of a rock genre than polkas, although we do quite a few polkas as well. But I'm learning every more and more now how to actually play it like an accordion was meant to be played. In other words, the left hand and the buttons and all that. But it's really starting to cross a lot of different genres. I mean, it's amazing how often you hear an accordion in all sorts of different kinds of music. You don't even know it's there sometimes, but it's a pretty versatile instrument.
That's what struck me the first time I attended the Deep Squeeze. I was amazed by the breadth and the various instruments that were there and the various ways they were used. It's fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, I try to get different kinds of bands so that you can see the different ways it's used in different genres. And of course, we got Bertram Levy coming in with tango and bandoneon, which is, near as I can tell, an impossible instrument to learn how to play, but he seems to be able to do it. Yeah, it's really interesting to see all the different sounds or different ways people use accordion across a different musical landscape.
If you ever heard anyone play the Jimi Hendrix tune?
Well, Fire, Let Me Stand Next to Your Fire. And we do have an excellent Led Zeppelin medley, of course. Yeah. Susie Davis singing on that. And yeah, I mean, we can rock out on them. And some people don't even know the difference, although, I find that hard to believe. But we try to rock out if we can, you know.
Paul, you said there's five bands playing, and so there's of course, if anybody hasn't seen Bertram Levy play the bandoneon, right?
I guess bandoneon. Only Bertram knows how to pronounce it, actually.
It's pretty amazing, and he went all the way down and studied with one or two of the masters
for many years.
Yeah,
he may still be going down there, for all as I know.
It's a really, really difficult instrument, I agree.
Right, and he brings out the tango dancers too, which is fun.
Yeah. And then, of course, you know, those darn accordions, darn it, they'll be there.
Yeah, they're all flying up next Thursday.
Yeah.
I was just down there this past weekend rehearsing with them and playing a memorial for a guy named Commander Cody.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if anybody remembers him.
Well, I remember Commander Cody from Winterland and the Avalon and...
Yeah, he did me the favor of singing one of my songs on the David Letterman show a million years ago. And so I went down and sang that song at his memorial. It was a lot of fun.
Right. Well, there's also a Mojito. Tell me about them.
Well, that's Vicki Townsend and her husband, Michael. And they have a percussionist, too, whose name escapes me. But they have their own little take on Cuban and Cubano music, I guess, and cumbia dance mixed with kind of rhythm and blues. And they're really interesting. And they've played the festival many times ever since we started.
And then the Alternators.
Well, of course, that's Peter Ivesic and George Radabaugh. They're fantastic. A great duo, and they can do everything from cabaret to Cajun, and they do put on a great show. I've actually asked them to go a little bit longer on Sunday because they have such a huge repertoire.
Paul, I knew you are squeezing for a reason this year, and I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit more about the organizations you chose, and especially Community Wellness Project, which I think Ukraine Disaster Relief has pretty broad awareness.
The reason why I chose the Ukrainian Disaster Relief, well, it's kind of obvious. I mean, it's really needed, but the Rotary International set up a direct fund. They have an international disaster relief fund, but they earmarked it just for Ukraine for a designated amount of time. And I've actually hooked up with the original Rotary Club in Chicago, which is directly involved with surgeons and doctors over in Ukraine right now. And they sort of gave a punch list of all the things they need. So I talked to them yesterday on the phone and said, you know, we want to make sure the funds that we raise go directly there. And Rotary just has a really high rating for their charitable foundations. I mean, it's almost 100%, 95% of the money you raise is going to go there. So people that give their money for this cause can be assured that it's really going to go to the Ukraine to buy medical supplies. I guess they're just really desperate for a whole list of different medical supplies. So that was one of the reasons why I felt I could feel comfortable raising money for Ukraine, even though, you know, I mean, you're seeing all sorts of ads everywhere on, you know, send money to Ukraine. But I feel really confident about how we're going about it. And then the Community Wellness Fund, I've known Catherine Lamka for quite a while, and she's involved with that. And Shelby, I can't remember her last name. We've had them as one of our recipients several times, at least once or twice. I like to give money to the Community Wellness Fund because I like what they're doing to bring better food to schools. And it just seems like a really important thing to me. So
they do great work weaving together the agricultural community in Chimicum with the schools of Chimicum. Just a really unique organization.
And the fact that we're doing it at Finn River, you know, which is sort of in the heart of, you know, that area. And I feel pretty connected to that, too. So it just makes sense, I think, to include them in this.
Well, Paul, I hear there will be pie out there. Is that true?
Okay, so the pies. I mean, I'm pretty excited about the accordion music, but my wife will be making, I think, 3 blackberry pies and blackberry peach pies. I have a neighbor making rhubarb pie, which is going to be fantastic.
It's my favorite pies. I'm a pie guy, you know.
So if folks aren't into accordions and you are into pies, that's another reason to come out and support the cause.
Well, what's going to happen to those pies?
Well, I'm going to auction them.
That's right.
And the last time we did it, it was really wild. But I just get up there and start, you know, auctioning these pies off to the audience. And we have people, you know, coming up paying hundreds of dollars for a pie because it's a good cause. And of course, they immediately start eating them right there. So it's a lot of fun. But pies are not the only thing that I'm auctioning off.
That's true. There's something else.
I have 4 accordions I'm raffling off. Every year, Potosa Accordion in Linwood gives me a really nice accordion to raffle off. And then other people over the past couple of years have been calling me up and saying, hey, do you still need accordions? I now have 4 nice accordions that I'm going to raffle off. They're $10 a ticket. So holy mackerel.
Man,
those will be on a table when you walk in, and you'll be able to buy a ticket for that.
And if that was ever an incentive for somebody, no matter what the age, to take up the accordion and learn Lady of Spain,
you know, I mean, you don't have to play Lady of Spain.
I know.
We did a fundraiser in San Francisco a long time ago where the Darn Accordions stood in Washington Square Park and played Lady of Spain nonstop. We set a Guinness World Book record. And you people had to pay money to make a stop for 10 minutes. $50 would actually get you a half an hour. That's how we raised money to go to Lithuania. But I think we went on for about 27 hours.
Hey, briefly, because I want to go out with a song, but tell us a little bit of the history about those Darn Accordions. You know, they had kind of a unique beginning. Maybe.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, it started up as just kind of a one-night thing by a woman named Big Lou down in San Francisco. And she basically said, anybody that has an accordion, show up. We're going to play Beatles songs and other stuff. I was not part of that. And then it was so much fun, they started going around and raiding restaurants and playing Lady of Spain and Viva Las Vegas, Beer Barrel Polka. That's how I found about it. I was playing in a rock band. So it was just like, show up on this corner in North Beach and a van will come by at 7:30 and pick you up. And that's exactly what I did. And then it just became a joke. And we went down to South by Southwest and played there, and we got offered a record deal. And they said, okay, Paul, you're the musical director. And it's the band that just doesn't stop. We have 6 CDs out now, and we've been around the world, and we're going to Tulsa, Oklahoma in 2 weeks. It's nuts.
Paul, I wonder if you could give us a little more information about the logistics of the event. So, or do we buy tickets? If so, how do we do that?
It's just $3 to get in. There'll be a little table and a door that when people will walk in, and you can obviously pay more. I mean, we don't want to have a door that is a barrier to people coming in, but certainly welcome to throw $5 or $10 in as you come in. And I really encourage everyone to be generous once they get in, and with the baskets that go around collecting money and stuff. We're going to start at 4:00 on Saturday, September 24th with Mojito, and Cosmopolis will follow them. And then on September 25th, we're going to start earlier, 1:00, and go all the way to 8:00. Both days will go to 8:00. And Sunday will be a long day of accordions, but it will be a lot of fun, a lot of pies, a lot of accordions being raffled off.
When do you think the tango dancers will show up?
They should show up probably around 5:00, because that's what time, I think he pronounces it Canarissimo. Canarissimo is Bertram's new tango stride ensemble that he's put together. So it's going to be all sorts of different kinds of music. It'll be a lot of fun. You can come and go all day long.
Paul Rodgers, our Port Townsend, Port Hadlock, our peninsula icon. Thank you so much. Thanks so much for joining us today on Community Tides. And, you know, since I don't feel bad about this because, you know, they have all the bulk candy out there for Halloween and the phony noses, you know, on the racks. So let's go out with this tune. What's it going to be, Paul?
The Zombie Polka. Which you can see the video of it if you want. Just go to YouTube and type in Zombie Polka, Those Darn Accordions. We filmed it up in Reno when we were there last year, or 2 years ago, I think. Anyway, Zombie Polka.
Well, Rodgers, thank you, and looking forward to seeing you out there at Squeezin' for a Reason.
When the shadows fall on the cemetery walls and there's no one else around, and you feel like someone's watching you from 6 feet underground. When the moon is high in the eerie eye of a black cat falls upon you, one by one through the mist they come to do the zombie polka. Tonight to wear